You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 112. I'm going to do two things for you today. One is that a few people have emailed me and asked me to go into some more detail about how to interpret people in your dreams. In other words, you know, sometimes we have people who are complete strangers in our dreams, and other times we have people that we know, maybe family people, maybe people from the past, maybe the strangest people come into our dreams, people that we don't know but kind of know of. Celebrities maybe. So I'm going to, in the second half of the show today, actually read out a segment from my book, Dream Alchemy, on how to understand why different people appear in your dreams. And that's about the identity method. So that's kind of, for those of you that are really into, interpreting your dreams, it's deep and meaningful. And you can follow all the clues there. And to open the show, I thought I'd go for something a little bit more lighthearted. And I'm going to read you a blog that I wrote earlier this month for my blog called The Leashes That Bind. And I was inspired to write this one. It's a little bit on, it's actually quite a lot on dreams and also on waking life. And I was inspired to write this one after one of the breakfast radio shows that I was on. I was on Radio Mix 101.1 FM in Melbourne, which is a very upbeat breakfast show based with a lot of music and a lot of talk. And I was on the show to interpret the presenter's dream and also, of course, to take callers' dreams and interpret those. So I wrote a blog looking at some of those dreams quite lightheartedly, but also, you know, interpreting them correctly, but just taking little bites at them. So we're going to do that first, and then we'll go into the reading from Dream Alchemy, which is some, you know, really into the depths of how to interpret what people mean in your dreams. First of all, of course, the websites. If you haven't been to my websites or blogs, please do go www.dream.net.au for lots of other resources about dreams, and also so that you can find out how to contact me confidentially if you'd like to have a Skype conversation, a phone conversation, or an email conversation with me about your dreams or other stuff, or if you want to visit our shop, buy my books, ebooks, courses, you know the drill, or go to my blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or, of course, find me on Facebook. Enough of all that. Let's get on with the interesting stuff. The leashes that bind. Dreams, even when they're scary, can be very playful. Some are laugh-out-loud funny, like Bridget's dream of taking her dog for a walk, only instead of her dog, what was on the end of the leash was a bit of lamb's fry. Now, if you don't know what lamb's fry is, it's offal, you know, liver. Deep and meaningful though the dream was, you've just got to laugh. And Bridgie's co-presenter and anchor on Radio Mix 101.1 FM Melbourne certainly made meat of that one on their breakfast show last week. It was an awful dream for Bridge, but perfect breakfast fodder for the team. And we managed to get to the bottom of it pretty quickly. Yvonne phoned the station with a dream of being a passenger in a plane, enjoying her trip until she looked out the window and noticed that the plane had no wings. What was keeping it airborne? She looked towards the cockpit. Chickens were harnessed to the plane, keeping it aloft. And that was fine by Yvonne until she remembered in the dream that chickens have clipped wings. She painted a playful picture, and look at those plays on words, cockpit and chickens. We're chicken when we're scared, and Yvonne was pretty scared at the thought of being at the mercy of a band of wingless chickens. A wingless plane, wingless chickens, and yet the plane was safely flying along and getting somewhere. Yvonne's dream suggests she can achieve far more than she thinks and fears. She may fear that her plans and ideas don't have wings, but they do. There's so much more, of course, to Yvonne's dream than breakfast radio allows time to say, but simply looking for wordplay is fun and gives a clue to the interpretation. Rachel's dream of dating a dentist who gave her a gift of a dental cup containing dental floss and mouthwash made us all smile, and she related to my brief interpretation on air about taking a new attitude to how she communicates. Clean, clear, fresh, positive words and intent. Yes, she said, that makes sense. How playful of her dream to go for dental hygiene theme to encapsulate this. Andrea's recurring dream was more frightening. She dreams of being smothered by hair while in bed and sees a chest at the bottom of the bed with a light that pulls her down, and she wakes up struggling for breath. My quick on-air interpretation was that Andrea's dream comes up when she feels restricted during the day, as if she can't breathe to claim her space to express herself, and that this pulls her down or depresses her. It was spot on, she said. She could relate to it. There's so much more to her dream, of course, but notice again how helpful it is to look for wordplay. The chest at the bottom of the bed is also Andrea's chest, the place where her lungs are situated, her breathing center. Although she feels depressed about finding it difficult to express herself fully, there's light there, like light at the end of the tunnel. When we can get to the bottom of our feelings, we can see the light about our blocks and how to overcome them. I wonder whether Andrea also suffers from having too many ideas, you know, head stuff like hair, that she doesn't know how to ground to make it happen. So she feels smothered by too many ideas and no action. The chest is at the bottom of the bed, near Andrea's feet, and the place for feet to be is on the ground. If Andrea can just pull down one or two of those ideas and ground them, make them happen, then there's light at the end of the tunnel. And what about Bridget's dream of that dog that wasn't, the dog that was in fact a bit of lamb's fry? I won't spill those beans in this blog. You can get to know Bridget and her dreams by tuning to the show next time I'm on, but it does remind me of the time Michael and I took a dog we were looking after for a walk. The dog had been a bit porky, and he trimmed up in our care and was looking pretty good. He had a bit of arthritis in his paws, so he was a plodder to walk. On this particular day, we took a slightly longer walk than usual, and we had to slow our pace to match his drag towards the end. Suddenly, home in sight, the leash slackened, and Michael said, "He's picked up his pace, got a bit of energy, now he can see home." I looked back, and there was the dog, still plodding along, slowly and faithfully, a long way back down the road while the empty leash trailed behind Michael. The next day we tossed his old fat dog collar and bought him a nice slim dog collar, though I think the sight of dragging a leash is all it takes to keep him plodding along. Strange creatures, dogs and humans, conditioned to believe in limitations long since gone. So there you go. You're just the dog. You see Michael and Jane Therese are up ahead, walking along, leash in hand. And you think, oh, better keep on going, plod, plod, plod. Even though he'd slipped out of his big collar long ago and could have gone anywhere he wanted, or sat down and gone nowhere at all. How often do we do that? Just plod on, believing in limitations that aren't really there at all, long since gone. So now I'm coming to my book Dream Alchemy, which you all know, because I'm sure you've all got a copy and are reading it, aren't you? And if you haven't, why not? It's published by Hachette Australia. You can get it through bookshops, online, or of course through our own shop at dream.net.au/shop. And I'm reading from the very end, because this book is about common recurring dreams and how to deal with them and how to create dream alchemy and all that kind of stuff. And then at the very end of the book, I've gone into some stuff about how to treat and how to interpret your more uncommon dreams, how to interpret them and apply dream alchemy. So although the book in general is about common recurring dream themes and how to create dream alchemy, the end is more about your uncommon dreams. And this particular chapter I'm reading you part of is called I'll See You in My Dreams, and it's all about how to interpret people in your dreams. Here we go. The Identity Method. Have you ever wondered how often you appear in other people's dreams and what roles you play in them? It could be quite a worrying thought, but you can be certain that you, or at least a dream character that looks and sounds like you, stars, co-stars, and has cameo parts in many other dreamers' night movies. If you think you're not important enough to be the stuff of other people's dreams, think again. How many people have you dreamed about who have been only fleetingly a part of your life? A student from your old school days that you hardly knew at the time? The old lady you never spoke to who lived on the corner of your street? The homeless man who sleeps at the bus stop? Frequently, people you hardly notice with your eyes open make sure they're seen and heard in your dreams alongside those who annoy or inspire you and those who you share your life with. Think again about your list of dream film credits. Just as you are not responsible for anything you say or do in other people's dreams, people featuring in your dreams are not responsible for their words or actions. They are there because your dreaming mind has put them there to help you to understand more about yourself. When you were born, you didn't know that you were separate from the world and the people around you. Your senses were totally bombarded. In your early weeks and months, you dreamed long hours looking for the picture to best fit this strange new world and your place in it. Little by little, you began to distinguish between you and not you, though this was never easy. It was the hardest task, and it still is. You learn where your body begins and ends, but you are still unsure about the boundaries of your mind and your soul. Your head and heart entwine with the heads and hearts of others as you dance the complicated dynamics of relating to family, friends, colleagues, and strangers. In order to get on with others or in the world, you agree, disagree, compromise, influence or are influenced. You express and repress your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. You become a complex individual, shaped by your experiences of the people around you. Or should that be, you shaped yourself through your experiences of the people around you? Are you shaped by others? Or do you shape yourself according to your experience of others? This question, and your answer, is crucial to understanding the meaning behind the cast of characters who appear in your dreams. The people in your dreams are there to represent your beliefs about them or the beliefs you have borrowed from them. Some beliefs may work well for you, but others result in long and painful journeys. I'm thinking here about that dog with arthritis slogging behind us at the moment. But anyway, back to the book. The key to personal transformation, to discovering how to turn base metal into gold, is to see through your dreams which beliefs need to be given back to their owners. Once you have identified the beliefs you are ready to release, you then choose better ones to replace them and get down to doing the dream alchemy practice that brings about the change. So here's how to use the identity method for people you know. We're going to look at people you know who appear in your dreams, and then we're going to look at people you don't know, you know, dream strangers. So here's people you know. Magic mirrors. Imagine a person named Mary. Sarah may see her as critical. Ben may see her as a rigid thinker. Mary herself may be neither critical nor rigid in her thinking, but people misunderstand others all the time. Why does Sarah see Mary as critical? Perhaps because Sarah is sensitive to criticism. Why does Ben see Mary as a rigid thinker? Perhaps because she reminds him of another Mary he once knew who was a rigid thinker. The strangest truths can lie behind how you see other people, truths that say more about you, Sarah, and Ben, than they say about Mary. When Sarah dreams of Mary, she's not dreaming about the real Mary. She is most likely dreaming about criticism and her beliefs around criticism, about how she handles criticism in her life, and about how critical she is about her own life. Mary is a perfect symbol for criticism simply because that's how Sarah sees her. When Ben dreams of Mary, he's looking at his beliefs around rigid thinking, how he handles rigid thinking, and how it affects his own life. Both Sarah and Ben may dream of Mary, but it is their own self they see in the mirror. The best starting point for the identity method is to look at the people in your dreams as mirrors reflecting back to you your own beliefs and how you handle them. When you dream of someone, for example, Brian, start by writing down three words or phrases to describe his approach to life or his personality. You might write easygoing, tranquil, can be inconsiderate. It is most likely that you hold a conscious or unconscious belief about at least one of these aspects and that your dream is using Brian as a symbol of your belief. Look at how you interact with Brian and feel about him in your dream. Or look at what Brian gets up to in your dream. Then stop thinking Brian and start thinking my belief about inconsiderate people, or how I deal with inconsiderate people, or what I do to make sure people don't see me as inconsiderate, or my inconsiderate approach. Brian, Mary, or anyone else in your dream symbolize something you are not comfortable with due to the beliefs you hold. Your dream urges you to examine your own beliefs, some of them unconscious, to see which ones are beneficial and which ones you could replace, and use dream alchemy to speed this up. The swinging pendulum. The swinging pendulum is the best identity method approach to use when there are at least two people you know in your dream, particularly when they are two people who don't know each other in waking life. In other words, these two people are unlikely to play in the same scene in your life. Now, list all the people who appear in your dream and then write down the three words for each to describe their approach to life or their personality, exactly as we've just explained in Magic Mirrors. Now look through your list for opposites. For example, you might have described one person in your dream as patient and another person in the same dream as impatient. Then look at your dream to see if these themes, for example, patience and impatience, show up in your dream drama. When your dream clearly brings up two opposites or extremes of an issue, it is pinpointing a belief that is out of balance within you. To explain how it works, consider this example of patience and impatience. These are two extremes of the same issue. It's easy to see where being impatient can mess things up for you, but there are times when extreme patience gets you nowhere. You may patiently await an answer from someone who's forgotten that you asked them a question. You may be so patiently understanding with someone who is being abusive to you that your life suffers as a result. You may be so patient with a leaking roof that it collapses in the next rainstorm. The issue is one of judging the time or situation and knowing when to act or state your feelings. Life generally works best when you know how and when to act or state your feelings. The concept of the Tao, the middle way, is the path between extremes. It is finding the middle point in an issue where neither extreme irritates or attracts you because you found the point of balance. The issue is then a non-issue for you. There is no longer anything that requires you to be patient or impatient as you handle situations before they become an issue. Many dreams help you to see where there are extremes in your life that need to be balanced. And by showing you people who symbolize opposite beliefs, like patience and impatience, your dream is drawing you towards a point of balance. Your dream is showing you in a swinging pendulum and indicating the still point, the middle of the extremes where you can leave the issue behind. Why does the pendulum swing before you find the middle way? Think of it in the following way, still using the example of patience and impatience. If you are very patient about something that is annoying, what happens? Eventually, your temper explodes or you suffer a stress-related disease because you don't express yourself. If you are very impatient towards someone who is annoying you, that person will be so offended by your rudeness that they won't deliver. In the first case, after exploding, you vow never to get to that stage again. In the second case, when you've lost your chance of getting what you want, you vow to be a little more patient next time. Either way, the closer you get to the extremes, the closer you get to the middle. When you hit the end of the pendulum swing, you return towards the middle and will probably swing towards the other extreme first as you explore both approaches to find out what works best for you. Bit by bit, the pendulum slows and the middle point is reached. This process is illustrated beautifully by the yin-yang symbol. So look to your past to work out where your extreme beliefs began. Here are two common scenarios, still using the example of patience and impatience. Scenario 1. Someone is very patient. You love this person and admire their patience. You come to believe that it is good to be extremely patient. You become extremely patient. Scenario 2. Someone is very patient. You love this person dearly, but you see how much their patience is taken for granted by others. You see how much they are hurt and miss out on good things. You come to believe, consciously or unconsciously, that patience hurts you, so your belief in impatience is planted. The swinging pendulum variation of the identity method, compared with other methods of dream interpretation, helps you to see what extreme beliefs you hold, how they began, and why they are not working for you. You can then use dream alchemy to still that pendulum and move forward in your life. Time travel. People in your dreams are sometimes there simply to provide you with a time clue. If you dream of Simon, and you last saw Simon in 1982, then he may just symbolize 1982. How neat is that for dream shorthand? Because so much of dreaming is about searching back to uncover the origin of a belief, year and date clues are extremely valuable. Unfinished business. From time to time, your dreams will beg you to address unfinished business or to make peace within yourself about the past. For each person who appears in your dream, ask yourself whether you had unfinished business with them. If you did, then ponder the issues and use the various methods you've acquired through reading this book to help you find a resolution that heals the past and a dream alchemy practice to make it happen. What's in a name? Dreams love using wordplay to deliver a message. It's a bit like looking at a cartoon. It makes an impression through making you laugh. Your dreams will often use people for the punch of their names. For example, Frank might be about being Frank. Sue might be about suing. Pat might be a dream pun on pat on the back. And Penny or Bill might refer to your finances. Sometimes you've just got to hand it to your dreaming mind for tongue-in-cheek accuracy. Look for people in your dreams who have the same name as someone else in your waking life. When the dream concerns a sensitive issue, sometimes it delivers the message softly. Tim B might have really put your back up, but your dream introduces Tim K to make the dream easier to stomach. If the magic mirror, swinging pendulum, or other variations that we've just talked about of this identity method don't seem to be working, then think of who else shares the same name as your dream character. Changing faces and merging characters. When one person in your dream changes into someone else, your dream may be showing you a changing belief, or the way one particular belief you hold always transforms into another. To identify this, start by applying the magic mirror approach to each person. For example, if Jim, busy, changes into Martin, bitter, then your dream may be showing you that when you are in busy mode, you automatically become bitter. Then run your dream through other methods that you've acquired through reading this book to get an accurate interpretation of what is happening for you here. When two people share the one role, or when you see Valerie in your dream, but her personality reminds you more of Carolyn, your dream may be presenting you with an amalgamation of beliefs. Again, start by applying the magic mirror's approach and then merge your results. For example, when Valerie, cautious, merges with Carolyn, narrow-minded, your dream may be showing you a blending of caution and narrow-mindedness. Alternatively, when two people share the one role, your dream may be reinforcing the message. For example, if you see Valerie as cautious and depressed, and you see Carolyn as narrow-minded and depressed, then your dream may be saying, "Depressed, that's the one." Now we're going to look at family members and partners and other role players. It's natural to wake up and feel upset with your partner for what they did or said to you in your dream, or to worry that because you dreamed your baby drowned, you must be a bad parent. Take a deep breath and remember, your partner, child, or any other person in your dream is not the real person. Just as in any of the above examples, your partner, child, mother, teacher, or priest may represent something about how you see them. They may be your magic mirror, your swinging pendulum, your dream pun, your year marker, and so on. Always apply the identity method first. The same people can also play an important role in your dreams as archetypes. This is a big concept, but it boils down to this. You've probably heard the term inner child. Your inner child is a part of yourself that lives on in your mind as a 9-year-old or a 4-year-old or perhaps as a baby or maybe all three. At 9 years old, you might have had your first experience of rejection. And the 9-year-old you lives on to reappear in your dreams, still seeking recognition and love. As an adult, whenever you feel rejected, you may react more as the 9-year-old than as an adult. You may hear a childish voice or use childish words as you react or just feel small, vulnerable and helpless. In your dreams, your own daughter or son may appear to represent your inner child. If your daughter drowns in your dream, don't panic. This is not your daughter. This is you emotionally drowning at a younger age. This is your own inner child in trouble. This dream is also about your feelings of losing touch with your yin energy, your right brain. In the same way, you have all sorts of other inner selves. In the previous example, you can use dream alchemy practices to give the 9-year-old inner you the love she needs, heal the hurt, and allow her to grow to adulthood. There are plenty of other inner selves to nurture. Everyone has an inner wise person, a wise woman or a wise man or both. She or he is the intuitively wise part of your mind that appears in dreams, often as a wise older person. She or he may also appear as your own grandmother, grandfather, or elder in your community. This is where your grandmother in your dream is there as an archetype figure, not as a magic mirror or any of the other roles mentioned here. Your partner is a special case. Your male partner in your dream usually represents your yang energy, your left brain functions, or your outer world, and your female partner in your dream usually represents your yin energy, your right brain functions, or your inner world. Here's a sample checklist of possible archetype figures that may appear in your dreams. Male partner, your yang energy, your left brain functions, your outer world. Female partner, your yin energy, your right brain functions, your inner world. Your child, your inner child. Your son, a new yang energy in contrast to the older, more familiar yang energy represented by your male partner, perhaps. Your daughter, a new yin energy in contrast to the older, more familiar yin energy represented by your female partner, perhaps. Your grandparents, your inner wisdom, your mother, your inner mothering instincts or the mothering qualities you've learned from your own mother. Your father, your inner fathering instincts or the fathering qualities you've learned from your own father. Your priest, guru or spiritual advisor, your inner religious or spiritual authority. People you don't know. What about people you don't know who appear in your dreams? You may believe you know someone very well in your dream, but when you wake up and can't relate the dream character to anyone you know in your waking life, consider the following. A man or boy. The unknown man or boy in your dream probably represents your yang energy, a type of male energy that both women and men have. This energy is to do with rational thinking, intellect, assertiveness, doing rather than being, competition and looking at the world from a mechanical point of view, a view that everything is made up of parts. People usually apply these functions to handling the outer world, so the man or boy in your dream can sometimes be a symbol for your outer world. Consider substituting your left brain functions or yang energy or the way you deal with the outer world for the man when you interpret a dream featuring an unknown man. Ideally, you should approach your life with an equal balance of yin and yang energy. A woman or girl. The unknown woman or girl in your dream probably represents your yin energy, a type of female energy that both women and men have. This energy is to do with intuition, creativity, emotions, being rather than doing, nurturing, spirituality, and looking at the world from a holistic point of view. People usually apply these functions to handling the inner world, so the woman or girl in your dream can sometimes be a symbol for your inner world. Consider substituting your right brain functions or yin energy or the way you deal with your inner world for the woman when you are interpreting a dream featuring an unknown woman. And if all the people in your dream are the same sex, your yin-yang energy is probably way out of balance. Kings, wise women, heroes, ugly sisters, hobbits, handsome princes and frogs. Frogs, well, you get the message. We're talking about input from fairy tales, legends, myths, history, literature, films and television. You know their personalities and approaches to life from the characters they play. So go back to the magic mirror, people you know, and apply the same method. And all the rest? If your dream stranger is causing you interpretation headaches, go back to the magic mirror method. You met this character in your dream, so you have a good feel for his personality and approach to life. Failing hitting the jackpot with the magic mirror, check for clues, puns, and word plays concerning his name, occupation, clothing, or even the way he walks. For example, he might be a joiner. What are you merging? Or an accountant. What are you accounting for? He might be tiptoeing everywhere. What are you tiptoeing around? And finally, to end this reading from Dream Alchemy, is the identity method checklist. So here's your shortcut method. Here's your shortcut to the identity method. Answer the questions till something clicks. So you might want to bookmark this place in the podcast and go straight to here when you're trying to identify what someone means in your dreams. Here's your checklist. It's 15 questions. Number one, what is the personality of this person? Three words or phrases. Number two, how does this person approach life? Three words or phrases. Number three, when was the last time you saw, heard of, or interacted with this person? Number four, what were the circumstances of number three? Number five, how would you feel if you met this person today? Number six, who else does this person remind you of? Number seven, is there a pun or different meaning in this person's name? Number eight, what role does this person play in your world? Number nine, what role does this person play in your life? Number 10, what three things do you admire about this person? Number 11, what three things do you dislike about this person, and be honest with yourself? Number 12, do you have any unresolved feelings or business with this person? If so, what? Number 13, what belief might you have borrowed from this person way back? Number 14, do you need to make peace with this person? And number 15, if you were to meet this person today, what message would you like to deliver? Remember, the identity method is just one of the many dream interpretations you need, the rest of which are in this book, Dream Alchemy. So that's lots of deep and meaningful help and another dip into my book, Dream Alchemy. I receive so many beautiful and very much appreciated emails from people saying that they've been able to use over the weeks, months and years, the tools in my books or on my website to really intelligently and deeply interpret their own dreams and apply dream alchemy practices. And, you know, it's so lovely that I get to hear from these people by email and so on to know that these resources are actually providing you with what you need if you're prepared to put the hard work in to learning the tools and practicing them and applying them. And I am humbled that so many people do follow these tracks, and I'm more so humbled that you take the time to tell me what a difference it's made to your life. That is, pleased, I'm very blessed and happy that that happens. And if you yourself are a busy person and don't really have the time to put into following all those methods and working it all out for yourself, I'm still here for you. Of course, go to www.dream.net today and find out how I can help you. I can help you through Skype. I can help you by phone. Of course, these are all fee-based services. Some of them are big fees if you want to talk to me for an hour, and some of those are little fees if you want to talk to me for less. You can talk to me about the occasional dream. You can email me your dream and I can just let you know the bottom line, what you really need to know. Or you can do life coaching, which is more of a regular appointment with me to catch up not only on interpreting your dreams, which I will do for you, or to interpret your waking life, or just to answer your questions about what's happening for you in waking life. You know, you might want to ask me, well, where are the blocks that I can't see? What is it I need to know? What am I not seeing here, Jane Teresa? I can help you with all of that and more. So the place to go for that is dream.net. janetheresa.au or visit my blog at janetheresa.com or find me on Facebook. And I think that is more than enough for another podcast. So thank you for being with me for another week. Oh, and there is another way to get some help from me for having your dream interpreted. And if you would like to come on the show at any time, it is a fee-free option in return for coming onto the show and being a guest, which means that we simply phone you at home or Skype you at home and record our discussion. You can have your dream interpreted for free in return for, of course, everybody being able to listen on a future podcast to you having your dream interpreted so that they can get yet more help and understanding for interpreting their own dreams. Enough for one show. Have a wonderful week, and I'll speak to you for next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.